Lex orandi, lex credendi. That ancient Latin adage expresses the right relationship between how Christians pray and what we believe. And it means that the law of prayer is the law of belief. In other words, how the church prays teaches us what she believes. And for this reason, the worship of the church, rather than a library or lecture hall, is the privileged place for the proclamation and explanation of the gospel. And one of the richest treasures of our worship and doctrine is found in a series of mass prayers that few people ever read or ponder carefully. These texts are called the prefaces to the Eucharistic prayer. And at each mass, the priest sings one of the prefaces just before the congregation joins with the angels and saints in singing the praises of God, who is holy, holy, holy. The preface for this first Sunday of Lent is a compact summary of key moments in salvation history. And to understand these words in their full depth, we need to delve into Holy Scripture to see how the parts fit together into a coherent whole. Our preface today, speaking of the Lord Jesus, says that by abstaining 40 long days from earthly food, he consecrated through his fast the pattern of our Lenten observance. And by overturning all the snares of the ancient serpent, he taught us to cast out the leaven of malice, so that celebrating worthily the Paschal mystery, we might pass over at last to the eternal Paschal feast. In the Gospel today, we read that Christ spent 40 days in the wilderness between his baptism in the Jordan and the beginning of his public ministry in Galilee. In doing this, Jesus followed the example of Moses and Elijah, who would later join him at his transfiguration to prepare him for his coming passion and death. And in his desert retreat, Christ also established for us what the preface calls the pattern of our Lenten observance. In these 40 days, the church summons us to repent of our sins and believe in the gospel, so that on Easter Sunday, when we renew the promises of our baptism, we will be prepared to do so worthily. The preface goes on to say that Christ overturned all the snares of the ancient serpent. And this refers both to the account in the book of Genesis of Satan's seduction of our first parents and to the temptations endured by the Savior himself, as described today by St. Luke. In the garden, the serpent lied to Adam and Eve, telling them that if they disobeyed God, they too would become like gods. But in their disobedience, they did not find divine glory. Instead, they introduced suffering and death into human life, and rather than the freedom they sought, they brought about disordered relationships with God, with each other, with the earth, and even with their own true selves, thus opening the door to existential alienation and loneliness. But in the gospel today, we learn that the Lord Jesus refused to heed the same old lies of the enemy, relying on Holy Scripture to turn away the seductions of this fallen world, described by St. John as lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Please note that even the eternal and incarnate Word had recourse to the Word of God written in Holy Scripture to turn away the devil. And note also that the devil himself quoted Scripture in his dispute with the Lord Jesus. Satan's ploy may be the first example of proof texting, or taking one verse of Scripture out of the context of the whole in an effort to make Scripture mean what it does not say. Only by reading each text of the Bible in the context of all the other texts of the Scriptures and in the light of the apostolic tradition can we come to understand the meaning of the whole. And this is among the many reasons why, to resist our own temptations, we need to study and pray with Holy Scripture, so that, as St. Paul has it today, the Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Having explained that Christ overturned the snares of the ancient serpent, today's preface then mentions something called the leaven of malice. And here we must turn to St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. The apostle wrote to the Corinthians to correct immoral behavior and liturgical abuses, and to teach them how to hold fast to the gospel he had preached among them. And one of the most powerful images in Paul's letter is his explanation of Christ's atoning death by analogy to the Passover lamb and the Seder supper, which begins the yearly celebration of Passover. Recall that Moses was sent by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to convince Pharaoh to release his chosen people from slavery. But nothing short of the Passover of the angel of death was sufficient to secure their deliverance. A lamb was slaughtered to save the Hebrews from death by marking their homes with its blood. And then they left Egypt in such haste that even their bread did not have time to rise. And so on the annual feast of Passover and the seven following days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, no Jewish home may have leavened bread in the house. Observant Jews scour their homes to be sure that nothing with yeast is left among them before the beginning of Passover. And from this ritual use of unleavened bread comes the idea that leaven or yeast stands for corruption. That is why the Western Church celebrates the Holy Eucharist with unleavened bread. And that in turn explains Paul's instructions to the Corinthians, "Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be new dough. For Christ, our Paschal Lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." And now we have a new word to sort out, Paschal. In English, the celebration of the resurrection is called Easter, and in German, Ostern. But in most other languages, the word for Christ's resurrection is some form of the word Pascha, which is itself a Greek rendering of the Hebrew word Pesach, meaning Passover. The Feast of Passover recalls the death of a lamb whose blood is deliverance from death and whose flesh is food for the journey to freedom. So every time you hear the words Easter or Paschal, think Passover. Paschal means Passover, Passover means Paschal, and Easter means both Paschal and Passover. In 6 weeks at Easter, we will celebrate the Passover of the Lord Jesus. Christ is the true Paschal Lamb, and in order to participate worthily in the celebration of his sacrifice, we must cleanse out of our lives the old leaven of malice and evil, and live by the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That is the Holy Eucharist, in which the Paschal Lamb saves and sustains us with his body and blood. And at last, we are now ready to savor the full meaning of today's beautiful preface to the Eucharistic prayer. At every Mass, we celebrate the Paschal Mystery, or Passover Sacrament, of the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in this sense, each Sunday of the year is a little Easter. But now we are preparing by 40 days of fasting, prayer, and almsgiving to celebrate worthily the Paschal Mystery on the day of resurrection by renewing the promises of our baptism and then sharing in the feast of the Most Holy Eucharist, the Passover sacrament which anticipates the eternal wedding feast of the Lamb. In his letter to the Romans, St. Paul teaches that all who are justified by believing and confessing that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord are then saved by Christ from sin and death and raised up to the divine glory for which Adam and Eve grasped in vain, but which now we receive in Christ and from Christ as a gift freely given, a gift that when truly accepted changes our way of life even now. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. And now we come back to the preface. Lex orandi, lex credendi, the law of prayer is the law of belief. This ancient adage is finally completed by a third principle, lex vivendi, or the law of living or behaving. Lex orandi, lex credendi, lex vivendi. As we pray, so we believe, and as we believe, so we must live. And when we fail to live as we believe and pray, the Lord offers us his mercy in the sacrament of penance to restore our baptismal innocence by the confession of our sins and prepare us once again to celebrate worthily the sacred mysteries, especially the most holy sacrament of his body and blood. Friends, our Lenten observance is not an effort to earn God's love. It is rather our response to God's love already perfectly revealed in the sacrificial life, atoning death, and glorious resurrection of the Passover Lamb. Let us then cast out the leaven of malice and worthily celebrate the Paschal mystery so that we may pass over at last to the eternal Paschal feast of the true Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ.